joined this week on The Green by contributor Larry Nagengast to talk about a different topic involving kids and COVID-19. We've talked a lot about remote learning and other issues involving kids in school. This week, Larry takes a look at exercise and kids during the COVID pandemic and how it's becoming more difficult, particularly here in the winter months. Larry, we appreciate your time and your reporting this week. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, glad to be here, Tom.
So what are the experts saying about the challenges of getting kids the exercise they need during the pandemic, especially, as we mentioned, here in the wintertime when it's a little bit easier, a little bit harder to get outdoors?
Well, you know, if you ask parents about kids getting exercise in the winter, most of them would probably say that the only time that the kids want to go outdoors is when there's a couple of inches of snow on the ground. And now, you know, if you layer COVID-19 on top of that and the fact that you've got fewer friends to play with and going to school in many cases is a matter of just 2 days a week, which means fewer days of phys ed classes and fewer times to have recess. It's not a good situation, to put it simply. And Dr. Kate Cronin, who's a pediatrician and a medical editor at the Alfred I. DuPont Children's Hospital, describes it very simply. It's a double whammy, she says.
So you mentioned the school piece of this and the lack, perhaps, of recess and phys ed that would normally populate kids' days. So what are schools doing about that? How are they trying to get kids something approaching gym class in hybrid or remote learning situations?
Right. Well, yes, first of all, physical education does remain as a curriculum requirement for students going up through eighth grade. And, of course, every school district, as folks familiar with Delaware know, every school district is different. But the Department of Education did put out some reopening guidelines last summer, and there were a number of recommendations there that touch on physical education classes in one way or another. For example, these recommendations included having students stay in the same classroom pretty much all day. And, you know, and that means, well, you're not going to be using the gym for phys ed. And so that means that the schools are tending to teach phys ed classes on a remote basis. Same thing with recess. There were changes in recess patterns. They don't want all of the kids out on the playground at one time, and caution about touching different surfaces and the like. That's probably a lesser issue, but nonetheless, there are some changes in the recess patterns. But going back to the phys ed type classes, you know, whether the gym teacher is going to be recording the lessons or going live on a Zoom connection, the students are getting their workouts primarily at home. And for teachers, this has meant a change as well. It means that they've had to focus the exercises and activities and what they offer on things that can be done in smaller spaces because there's less room in a home, and they've still got to find ways to make this fun for the kids. So for the teachers, definitely a challenge.
And just as you say that every school is different, obviously every home is different as well. Parents have rules about what kids can and can't do in their house. So just as with the academic portion of remote learning, do parents have a role in phys ed classes and making it work somehow at home?
Well, you know, it's not necessarily a role in the classes themselves, but there are any number of things that parents can do to be supportive. You know, at the very least, it means carving out a little bit of extra space in whatever is being used as that in-home classroom for the kids so that they've got a little extra room to do those phys ed activities, maybe exercises like jumping jacks and push-ups, running in place, that sort of thing. You know, and again, as I mentioned, elementary school students are used to having recess every day, so parents can help out there by developing interesting activities, too. The people that I suggested to, that I talked to, suggested things like taking daily walks with your children, but when you do that, vary the routes. so you're covering a different area every day. Try to cover longer distances each day. Maybe do something like set up a scavenger hunt by making a list of things that kids are likely to find while they're walking around the block or down to the park and so on. So that you're building a level of interest that it's not just walking so that you get your quarter mile or your half mile in for the day.
And building on that, what do the experts suggest families do at home to encourage kids to be active beyond just what the school's doing and some of these things that the parents are doing to make the school piece of it work?
Well, the key message that I'm hearing is that parents should encourage movement. Now, dancing, especially if you give the kids their favorite music, can be fun. And the experts say the faster the music, the better. Tossing a ball around, if you can do that safely, of course, is a way of improving coordination. A hula hoop can provide youngsters with a pretty good workout and doesn't require too much space. Some children really like yoga. It's not as strenuous as some other activities, but it does help improve balance and flexibility. You can go online and Google yoga for kids, and you'll find plenty of options. And with my story, the Department of Education has given us a couple of links to various online sites that have activities that will promote fitness in children.
Your piece also highlights one program that's offering a low-cost way to perhaps engage kids, one that has a track record of getting kids up and going. Can you tell us a little bit about that and who's involved?
Yes, I'm glad you said track record, because that's really an appropriate choice of words here. Back in 2015, Chika Chukwocha, who is the wife of a state legislator from Wilmington, created a summer fitness program for kids ages 4 to 12. It's called I Can Do 26.2. And the 26.2 is a reference to the length of a marathon, 26.2 miles. In the program, the kids meet twice a week for 6 weeks. They learn the basics of running. And in that six-week period, their skills and their endurance advances. And through that period, they're able to run a total of 26.2 miles. So now that brings us to Chika Chukwocha's new program. When the pandemic shut down her running program last summer, she started thinking about how to promote kids' fitness in the winter. And she came up with something that she's calling Winter Activation. And it's a four-week online exercise program. Participants who sign up, and again, there's a link included in my article, will be able to log on to a 45-minute fitness session each Monday at 6 p.m. Personal trainer Rebecca Reyes will lead the workouts, which includes stretching, a warm-up, aerobics, and a cool-down at the end. Participants will then be able to log on to a recording of the workout for use during the week so that they can go back and do these exercises and almost every day if they want. And then the following Monday, there will be a new session up at 6 o'clock. So Each week there'll be something new. It runs for 4 weeks, and again, it's a different sort of approach. She's already got in the neighborhood of 35 registrants, and not just from Delaware. There are people from Texas and California, in addition to a couple of nearby states that have signed up for the program.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people everywhere who are looking for anything that can engage their kids in a different way, no doubt about it. We're talking obviously a lot about exercise, and that obviously is very important, but nutrition also a factor in this whole equation. How important is it to be paying attention to both of these things together in tandem during the pandemic?
Well, the two of them definitely go together. Back in 2018, Chika Chukwocha received a governor's award for volunteer service for setting up this running program for inner city children. And part of the motivation that she had for getting it started was that she saw a lot of overweight youngsters, kids who had gained weight because they weren't eating well. So when her program resumes this summer, she's planning on adding a nutrition component on Saturdays. And it'll be a program both for parents and for kids. And she's going to show them how to make recipes for healthy foods. The point I'm making here is that it takes more than exercise for kids to stay healthy. And eating well at home, which means avoiding the convenience and temptation of junk foods, which is something that it's a lot easier, or seems to be a lot easier to reach to during the current pandemic situation. But avoiding those foods will make it less likely that kids will put on unwanted and unneeded weight.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Even just in terms of the ease that you're talking about, there's a lot of people during this pandemic who've just turned to that stuff as just comfort food. And so there's a lot of having to really think about nutrition to kind of deal with that. Again, both the ease of it and the kind of comfort piece of it. So we talked about a lot of different things here, kind of pulling it all together here. It seems to me like, in the end, much of this is like so many other challenges during this pandemic, that this is kind of a do the best you can do situation. Is that a fair assessment? I mean, it doesn't seem like there's like a silver bullet solution, but it's something people really need to focus on and be aware of.
Well, yes, I definitely have to agree with you on that. I mean, in so many respects, the last 10 months have felt like a really lost year. But, we've all learned to take care of our business in different ways. Students are learning from home. Adults are working from home. Many of us are doing most of our shopping online. We're using telemedicine when we can for some doctor's visits. And I'm not saying that any of this is better, but some of these changes in the ways the pandemic have affected our lives may turn out to be better for us down the road, and we just don't know how all of that is going to play out. So yeah, for now, pretty much all we can say is, hey, we are getting by, and getting by is important. And I'm tempted, sometimes I go back and remember what my parents always told me, which was, do the best that you can. The outcome for all of us may not be always ideal in the short run, but we have to keep on trying, and hopefully we all come out better in the end.
Larry Nangest, as always, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your reporting. Thanks for being with us on The Green.
Okay, you're quite welcome. Take care, Tom.